You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Jamie, how are you?
Morning. Oh, afternoon now. Good to be with
afternoon.
You.
Afternoon, indeed, indeed.
Day goes fast.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice day. So I'll get straight into it. Labour water tax that they have proposed. So Labour has announced that they should be that should they be elected, they will introduce a water tax much like those in the oil and gas industries. So commercial water bottlers and irrigation scheme users will have to pay for the water use. So she, Jacinda Ardern, said a royalty on the commercial consumption of water will assist with the cost of keeping our water clean. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you'll notice that Labor didn't tell the public how much it would cost them, how much revenue it would bring in, how it would be implemented, how it would work. There's a lot of detail left in this that no one's actually talked about. The trouble with going down the route of a water tax is it's very complex and it's very difficult to do. And I think if a political party is going to say they're going to do this after an election, the public deserves to know exactly how they're going to do it. The difficulty also is that irrigation in New Zealand and the agricultural industry uses a huge amount of water. The reason we do this is because we export a lot of goods, we have a lot of consumption in New Zealand around our food, and if we were to implement a water tax on all that, it would ultimately cost consumers a lot of money to do that. If you just look at some of the numbers out there in terms of water use, it takes 400 litres of water to produce 1 litre of milk. Stuart Nash, the Labour MP, he's talked about 10 cents a litre. Can you imagine how much milk would cost if you charged 10 cents a litre for 400 litres of water used to produce 1 litre of milk? Mm. Irrigation in New Zealand uses about 6 trillion litres of water a year. So it's not just a simple case of saying, we're going to put a tax on water, 10 cents a litre, as they like to describe them, those nasty water bottling companies that are owned by overseas people, we're going to charge them. Actually quite a complex issue, and I just think if Labor's going to promise a tax on something, they should be telling the public how much it's going to cost them and how it's going to be implemented, and they should tell them up front that it will cost New Zealanders more for their food that we consume and for many of the goods that we like to buy.
So with this announcement, Jacinda said royalty levels will be set following consultation and the revenue will largely be returned to regional councils, so households and domestic users would not be charged, neither would stock farmers, unless they used irrigated water.
Come on, Kelly, that's not good enough. They're saying, trust us, vote for us, we'll put in a tax, we're not going to tell you how much the tax is going to be. We don't know how it's going to be implemented. We don't know how much it's going to cost you as an individual once it flows through to you. Because remember, all of this will flow through to consumers. The people buying vegetables in the supermarket, the people buying milk in the supermarket will ultimately pay for this. They won't tell us how much it will raise in revenue. That's just not good enough. If you promise taxes, if you promise policy generally, you need to have facts that you can tell the public. And I think the trouble with this election campaign is we've got one side of the political spectrum that is not able to give the public quite detailed policy. And I think in an election campaign, New Zealanders deserve that. We've been in government 9 years. We have a track record. People know that what we've been implementing, we will continue to implement. And our policies that we've announced have been well costed and well tested. And I think the public deserves that from the left side of politics as well. So my real concern about this water tax proposal is another tax that we don't know enough about, that the public deserves to know more about, and will cost us more in the back pocket. And that's something New Zealanders need to consider.
So on the sort of rebuttal of that, the Environment Minister, Nick Smith, has sort of released or re-released National's policy on cleaning, making all waters and rivers swimmable in New Zealand. And he said that the cost of meeting these new water quality improvements, I mean, because holistically that's really what this is about. It's going to be taxing. We're trying to make money to make all our rivers and our water clean so that everything's just not being sent overseas. So he said the cost of meeting these new water quality improvements is $2 billion, which will fall on farmers to fence waterways and reticulate stock water, councils and improving their wastewater and stormwater infrastructure, and taxpayers. So I see what you mean, that people need to be upfront and say it, which is exactly what Nick Smith's done. But essentially, this falls on the taxpayer again.
Sure. We've put a number on it. You'll see that $2 billion, and that's work that's, in terms of waterway cleanup, it's work that's been underway for quite a number of years. And just this week, we announced more funding for cleaning up of waterways. But don't get me wrong, having clean waterways is important, but the government's put literally tens of millions of dollars into cleaning up waterways in the time that we've been in government. And the new target that we have of 90% of lakes and rivers being swimmable by 2040 is an achievable goal. I don't think it's difficult to get to 100%. I know it would be desirable to say 100%. It's not always practical to do everything at 100%. But just this week, we announced $44 million of government funding for 33 new projects, which will clean up waterways. The councils are also contributing alongside the government, and it'll lead to $142 million investment in cleaning up over 100 lakes and rivers. That's on top of the $360 million that we've previously committed in the past few years. So we're putting more money into cleaning up waterways. We've got projects that are defined that we've been announcing, that we've been working closely with councils on. And I'm just saying that when it comes to policy, the public deserves a lot of detail. They deserve to know what they're signing up to. And if we're signing up to a tax on our food and our milk, we deserve to know what that's going to be.
So Labour Party water spokesperson David Parker said that the issue of municipal water takes is tiny compared with the amounts that are at large with the millions of cubic metres of water that are taking from irrigation takes out of our rivers and aquifers. So that was his response to National saying that, you know, we shouldn't be taxing small farmers and the rural community. Do you think that's a fair point?
Well, when he talks about municipal water supplies, I think he's talking about the water that flows through the tap and the fact that you do pay for that, and you do pay local authorities for the infrastructure that they put in place to enable us to get water into our houses. When it comes to irrigation, though, there's a lot of water, 6 trillion litres of water that's used in irrigation that helps us to produce goods that we export overseas, that helps us to produce goods that we consume ourselves as individual Kiwis. And so one of our largest export sectors, which we rely on heavily in this country, is going to be seriously impacted if there's a water tax put in place. During droughts, during difficult periods, those farmers, they struggle quite often to make it ends meet. And we've seen farmers go under in recent years when there have been droughts, when there have been difficult periods. I just think where we've got a period of growth ahead of us, where we need to try and help the farming and the agricultural sector get back on their feet and continue to export more goods to grow the pie for the whole country, because we do all benefit from greater growth and greater exports in the country. We shouldn't be rushing ahead with taxes that aren't properly thought out, and we haven't been able to explain how they've been implemented, how they're going to be implemented. And that's what Labor owes the public if they're going to go down this route.
So moving on to the $2.6 billion election transport package that National unveiled last Friday, which includes a new highway alongside the Southern Motorway between Drury and Manukau, improvements to the northwestern busway, and extra support for the Auckland-Manukau Eastern Transport Initiative. Do you think there's also, I mean, this is quite a comprehensive transport package, but do you not think that there's crucial need for an advanced transport system from the CBD to the airport as Labor's transport package announced?
Well, no, we didn't outline a transport package last weekend along those lines. What has been in place for a year now has been an agreement, a project called the Auckland Transport Alignment Project between the council and the government. Basically, last year, council and government sat down and said, we often have plans, they're not always aligned, they're not always working well together, we should come up with a plan that looks forward to the next 30 years. And so the government and council did that. What was in the newspaper was, I guess, an advanced copy or a leak of something that's being updated at the moment. So Phil Goff was on radio just this morning, Radio New Zealand, saying that they're still negotiating with the government, and that's true. What was announced last weekend by the National Party was more funding for rail to take out the southern parts of the line, further south through to Pukekohe. There's a lot of growth in that area, and we should be ensuring there's good public transport where growth is taking place. So we committed $267 million over the next 3 years, both in Auckland and in Wellington, for commuter rail networks. The large part of that was the Papakura to Pukekohe line, and adding a third main line from Wiri to Westfield, and double tracking also the Wellington Commuter Network between Trentham and Upper Hutt. So that funding is there specifically to ensure our public transport network grows.
But do you think there's something that's needed quite urgently from the CBD to the airport? Like that is a very heavily used, line of transport that people are using that route all the time. Do you think that we need something in Auckland that just lessens congestion?
What's most important is ensuring that we're keeping up with growth and that we're putting in place transport networks where we're growing quite fast. And the Auckland Transport Alignment Project, as I said, an agreement between the council and the government, does show that greater connections to the airport are needed, but they're not the highest priority at the moment. And when it comes to going out to the airport, I think we need to take into account that Waterview Tunnel is helping immensely in that area. We'll also see a lot of assistance going out to the southern parts of Auckland through the east-west link as well. That is a connection between the eastern side of the isthmus to the western side, and that will go down and impact beneficially South SH20. And so the east-west link is one of those projects that's also on the books, has been agreed between the council and the government as a priority for Auckland. I think the trouble we have here and the risk you have is if you have a long-standing plan between council and government that are funded and that are well tested, and if they get thrown out the door for political election promises, you run the risk of having a hodgepodge of planning that we've struggled with in the past. What we need is a council and government working together on how we're going to grow Auckland and how we're going to ensure public transport networks are implemented, where the growth is. Growth in the southern part of Auckland is very rapid, and we need to keep up with public transport there, so that's where the southern rail connections are coming in. When we see the growth out to the west, the ATAP process is looking at more busway connections out to the west as well. And in terms of AMITI, the Auckland Manukau Eastern Transport Initiative in my area, that's planned to be progressed in the next decade as well, because we're seeing a lot of growth in the eastern part of Auckland. So I think we need to plan well with the council. We need to work hand in hand with the council, because we're in this together.
Finally, so in the recent polls, the most recent News Hub Read research poll shows that Labour's vote has increased by 9% in the polls to 33.1%, which Winston is saying is their peak and they won't go any higher. Do you agree that this is just a reflection of personality politics and a response to Jacinda becoming the leader, or do you think this is, is this Labour's new trajectory? Are they going to rise above 33.1%?
I don't think it's surprising that Labour had a lift. Whenever you have a leadership change, you do typically have a lift. What's interesting with that poll is that Labour went up 9%, but the Greens and New Zealand First went down about 9% combined as well. So it's a bit of a rearranging of everything on the left side of politics.
Well, New Zealand First went up and now has the third highest result ever for New Zealand First Party. They're actually above Greens by 1%.
Yep, I mean, on the previous Read Research poll, the TV3 poll, they were quite high, and both Greens and New Zealand First on the TV3 poll, which I think is the one you're referring to, they both dropped combined by about 9%. So it was a rearranging. And the National Party is still in the mid-40s, and we're still basically where we've been for the past 5 or 6 years. I think an election campaign, we'll see a lot of polls, and there'll be ups and downs. The important thing is that we get out there, we talk to New Zealanders about why they deserve strong, stable government, why tested policies with numbers to back them up, that's got some policy depth there, is important for New Zealanders. And we need to keep communicating as to why New Zealanders should be considering the National Party to be re-elected. We're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep talking about the fact that there's greater growth in the economy. Health and education services have been improving. That law and order is seeing crime rates coming down. Those are the things I think New Zealanders will be interested in. Polls are a nice distraction for the news media, but at the end of the day, New Zealanders look at policy, they look at what they're getting from governments or from an opposition party, and they want to know what they're signing up to if they vote for a particular party.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Jamie Lee.
Thanks, Kelly. Take care.
You too.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.